Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Maiocco.
The season is over with plenty of ups and downs on which to reflect for the San Francisco 49ers. So we turn to the 49ers' longest tenured player to look back and look ahead. Joe Staley just concluded his 11th year in the NFL, and let's just say it started a lot better than it ended for the veteran who came face to face with his football mortality early in the season. Here's my talk with Joe Staley. All right, you know, this is the exit interview.
Okay, here we go.
The 2017 exit interview.
Am I the only exit interview?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I feel very...
And you're also the first person who's ever been on my podcast twice.
Ooh, we're breaking the rules here right now.
I know. So, late in the season, Kyle Shanahan talked about your mood, and Joe can be grumpy sometimes. Mm-hmm. Is this true?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
What makes you grumpy?
I don't know. I think he was alluding to earlier this year. We had I think week six or five or six, and I wasn't playing well, knee was feeling bad, was just, you know, kind of in a doldrum there, and my mood was not good. I wasn't coming on the work with the same kind of enthusiasm that I usually come in with, and I actually, like, sought out Kyle and was said, hey, we have to sit down and we have to have a conversation, like, I have to talk to you, I just got to get out of my own head right now, and we did, and you know, he kind of really got my mind back on track. We had a good conversation. We talked for probably about an hour. Just got me refocused and all that. That was probably what he's kind of alluding to there.
What did you need to hear from him?
I just really needed to talk to someone. You know, I just didn't, not like, I just, you know, feel like I was kind of, in a rut there professionally. You know, kind of coming to, you know, at that moment was like, oh man, is this how my career is going to end with, you know, my knee acting up and, you know, I'm not playing well and, you know, we haven't won a game yet this year. We have a new staff, new direction. You know, this is going to be my last season. And, you know, you kind of get weighed down on all that stuff and you have a career and you kind of think of how would you like it to end and all that stuff. And that was the first time I was really kind of thinking about that stuff. So just kind of talking to him and telling him how I was feeling and then, you know, him speaking to me about, you know, where he sees, you know, his vision and everything. So, you know, without getting into it, what was said and stuff, but it was just, you know, it was beneficial for me. And I think that just kind of speaks to, you know, the kind of person he is too, to, you know, be able to sit down with a guy that's, you know, older and dealing with this stuff as a first-time head coach and be able to really sit down and, you know, get me refocused. And, you know, it was a big help to me this year.
He's always been very adamant that he sees you as part of this, mm-hmm. you know, part of, you know, that you can play a few more years, mm-hmm. but also that your impact can last on when you're not here. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of how you view yourself now, that you see this team turning the corner and you can help even when you're not here anymore?
No, because, like, you know, I'm so far gone from where I was in that moment and, you know, early in the year that I'm just focused on, you know, next year and, you know, hopefully years after that. I mean, I feel like I can still play. I think this last half of the season, I'm not one to talk much about myself and what I, you know, do and accomplish or, you know, don't do or whatever. I usually let other people kind of speak on that if they want to, but I just felt personally, I think this last half of the year, I've played some of my best football my whole career. I felt very confident in what we're doing schematically, with the people that are surrounding us, that I've, you know, it kind of shows in my own play. And so I feel, you know, the way I feel right now, you know, I can tell my wife, get ready. This is, I don't think, because she was kind of going into this season maybe, you know, where I was, we were thinking about it, you know, where this might be maybe my last. And, you know, if not this year, then possibly next year being, you know, one more. But, you know, I told her, you know, yeah, I'm going to be a football player for a little bit longer. Yeah. So,
your wife played how many years of professional soccer?
She played 3 years professionally, but she played really high-level soccer from the age of, like, 8 on. She was on, you know, all the national teams until she had a kind of rough go. She was on, like, the U-20, U-18, U-16 national teams. And then when it came to time to go to the actual national team, she had a really bad knee injury and kind of got passed over and never really recovered from her knee injury. So she played 3 years professionally, kind of give it a go, see if she could get back to that level she was at previously. And the knee never really responded, so she had to kind of walk away from
this
it.
This is the former Kerry Dew.
Yes, Kerry Dew, yeah.
And so when you talk about the end of the road, do you lean on her a little bit to, like, how do you make that transition from professional athlete?
Yeah, I definitely had conversations with how that was for her. I mean, we were dating too when she was going through that, and I just know that it was a, you know, big transition, especially if something that you've played at a high level since you were like 8 years old. And all of a sudden that not being there, and, you know, I know that was hard for her. To kind of, you know, transition to the next part of her life. So yeah, we've had those conversations, I mean, we were going through that together when she was doing that, so I know how that affected her. And not ready to have that for me yet.
Yeah, during the I mean, your name always comes up around trade deadline.
Yeah,
especially when the team's struggling, because people are saying, yeah. I mean, you know, Joe would be a great rental player, yeah. But you've stated you don't want to chase a ring. You know, you want to be. Mm-hmm. Why is that important to you?
Well, I just think, you know, you spend so much time in one spot, and you know, I just feel like it would mean that much more, you know, to me, to be able to be a part of something that you know, go through the tough times and get back to you know, the top. And I just know that if we do win you know, Super Bowl here while I'm here, that it'll just be, you know, that much more special to be able to do it in one spot and withstand all those tough times, and then you know, finally win the ring. I know it would be a lot more. I just don't want to chase rings. I think it'd be, I don't know. I guess, I mean, I can't speak to anybody else, but, you know, for me, it would be, you know, it would feel like I really didn't have a huge part in that. You know, I was kind of riding coattails of other players or whatever if I were to get traded to a different team. And also, I just don't want to go anywhere else. You know, this place has been really good to me, and I love the people here. And even in tough times, this is home for me. So I've always thought it was too. I mean, it was like a goal for me when I came into the league. I just wanted to be one of those players that, you know, hopefully just stuck around for a long time and made it a career that I could have been proud of. But also a guy that stayed with one team. I just think that's cool. Just to you know, not be a guy that's, you know, 12-year vet, played on 7 teams, you know, more of a, you know, he played his whole career with one franchise. I think that's just something to aspire to.
And this season has been remarkable, just even being on the outside looking in. Because even when you guys were 0-9, that was a pretty good locker room. At least it seemed to be.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple changes made during the course of the season to that locker room. But, you know, going from 0-9 to now finishing the season with 5 straight wins, 6 wins on the year, I mean, it's easy to sense that, you know, you're reinvigorated and that locker room didn't want this season to end. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was funny, too, because it's like people that are in the locker room and in the, you know, going through it, it's they really know, you know, what's going on. And so it was funny, like, I mean, I remember feeling like, you know, 0-7 and talking to the media and talking to you and being like, you know, and everybody getting a sense that why aren't they more upset? You know, like, why aren't they more down? And you know, I think it's because of the guys that, you know, we were in there and we were going through it together. We realized what we were kind of building, and we could all sense it, you know. But the outside doesn't see it yet. And I'm just happy that, you know, it came to the point at where we're at now, where we kind of have a little bit of a sense of like, see, we, you know, kind of not like I told you so, but like, you know, we feel vindicated of. You know, we did know that something was kind of being built here, and something that was that we were going through, that those tough times really you know, showed a lot about our team. And I think we learned more as a football team this year than any years past. I mean, even when we had a lot of success here, haven't felt nearly as close to a locker room that we did this year.
Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it has to do with you know, the front office bringing in the right type of guys. You know, I think you know, talk about our rookie class this year, just came in with, you know, no sense of entitlement. You know, no, you know, I'm here to take, you know, someone's spot. Everybody just came in with a workman attitude, and that's always, you know, it starts with them. And
people don't knock anymore.
Yeah,
do they?
No, they don't. It just bars right in.
Yeah, you talk about the rookies come in with no sense of entitlement.
Yeah. Oh, I'm about to sneeze.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
You know, they just came in with a workman's attitude, and I think that's always great when you. Oh man, you're gonna have the sneeze coming. I'm fighting one.
Just turn the other way.
I know. I'm not gonna sneeze on you.
And you realize this is all going to be on the podcast.
I know. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, so they work hard. Yeah. And then, you know, also the free agents really just that they brought in. I mean, the whole foundation of the franchise here is just really set with guys that just don't get too high or too low off of, you know, results. They just they continue to put their head down and work. And then also, you know, Coach Shanahan's demeanor and everything, the way he just kind of manages the locker room and his communication with guys. You know, he brings a lot to, you know, to be desired out of a head coach, and this personality and the way he relates to everybody. And then also guys just really believe in what he's doing, you know, schematically, you know, X's and O's. You know, same on the defensive side of the ball with Coach Sala. And, you know, I know talking to those guys, they, you know, they're really excited about what he's doing, and guys just get more comfortable as they go with the, you know, the system and how everything fits. So I think that has a big part of it.
The numbers certainly suggest that the offensive line played a lot better later in the season. Yeah. Do you feel that way too? That just what you saw was a better product?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely in the second half of the year, we definitely kind of hit our stride as far as, you know, because you like to see the, you know, with a new scheme coming in, and a lot of guys were asked to do stuff that they haven't done their whole career. Man, I've never really been in a true, you know, outside zone, you know, run sideline to sideline. I've never really done that, and I've been in the league for 11 years. And so this year was, even for me, it was a little bit new as far as what I was being asked to do. And I know a lot of guys, you know, Lakin coming over from Detroit 1 week before the season, not having a whole off season, even a training camp to get ready. So his, you know, his indoctrination into the scheme was the first half of the year, and then you can go down the whole line with a lot of the guys that were just kind of, you know, doing a lot of things new, and you're getting, you like to have all that done, and you like to say that it's going to be done in the OTAs and in training camp, but it's hard. You know, it's hard to get all those game reps and all that stuff and the live action of how it goes. So I think guys definitely felt a lot more comfortable the second half of the year, and we knew exactly what we were supposed to do and how to do it in game speed. And I think it kind of showed in our play. And also that comes off of the running game, but also pass protection, because you felt a lot more comfortable back there. And especially, a lot of it has to do with Jimmy. I mean, just having so much confidence that he's getting the ball out on time in the pass protection game, and knowing that he's gonna make us right when we're not, and he's gonna cover up a lot of stuff that if you're not winning 100% every single time, you're still gonna be able to get the ball out. And he's a terrific player.
Yeah, what do you think of that quarterback?
He's just a hell of a dude, man. He's really great. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Like, he, I haven't been around a guy like him. Just in the short time that I've, played with him, he's just very unique. He's exciting. He's, I don't know what else to say. He's just great.
Like, what if someone.
Unique personality. Like, really, really down to earth. Relates to every single person on the football team. There's not going to be one person that says a bad thing about the kid. As far as personality goes, extremely hardworking. He doesn't have any kind of entitlement of, hey, I'm the face of the franchise or anything like that. He's a working kid, and but then also is so talented. I don't know much about how it looks pretty back there when he's throwing the ball. His mechanics and all those buzzwords they use to describe quarterbacks, but he just gets rid of the ball so fast, his release is so fast. Really great communicator. Speaks with everybody, receivers, linemen, running backs, tight ends. He's communicating with everybody at all times. Motivating, he's always focused in. He's got everything you want, and we're excited about it.
When he first got here, did you seek him out? Did he seek, how did you guys
when
first
we,
meet?
I've heard we traded him. I got his number from Coach Shanahan. I just sent him a text, said, welcome to the team, excited to work with you, and then met with him and just got to know him a little bit, and then really just developed a relationship off the football field.
How much of it is it that he's here? But, for the optimism looking forward and how excited you are for what the future holds.
Yeah, it's just a collective of everything. Obviously excited about the quarterback and what he's brought to the team and the franchise. His play has really kind of elevated everybody around him, too, because everybody's got that confidence and belief. Every single game we can go out there and win. But then also, too, what we're doing with the head coach and the front office, and just see the guys that they're bringing in and just know that they, they get it. And that all coupled together with, what we're doing, and it's fun. It's just, I wish I was a lot younger.
So what are you doing in the off season now before reporting back here for the off-season program?
We will head down to the San Diego area. We live down there in the off season. I work out of this place called Keen Performance. It's in Carlsbad with Roberto Wallace. He'll appreciate the shout out. He's an old NFL receiver for the Dolphins. He's now a personal trainer, so I work out with him, and we got a good little thing we do and work out and be ready for next year.
Body feels good.
Yeah, I do. I feel really good right now. Yeah, now, I was dealing with some knee stuff first 8 weeks of the year, but yeah, I feel really good now.
All right. Well, podcast, the first time you made, national news, of course, with your singing.
Yes.
Are you prepared for any karaoke stuff to finish this podcast off?
All right. Well.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Well, I am wearing a Hakuna Matata t-shirt.
Okay.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's a problem-free
philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
Now, at this point, I just want to make an observation. When Joe Staley decides to do something, he goes all in.
When I was a young warthog!
If this is the way he approaches singing a song from The Lion King, then you can only imagine his mindset when it comes to football.
After every meal, I'm a sensitive soul.
And so now that probably gives you some insight into what he was going through when he realized earlier in the season that he was not coming to work with his usual level of enthusiasm.
And oh, the shame! And it was a shame! It's a change in my name! Oh, what's in a name? And I got downhearted. How did you feel every time that I... Pumbaa, not in front of the kids. Oh, sorry. Hakuna Matata! What a... Okay, there we go.
Outstanding.
As mentioned, Staley is the first repeat guest on the 49ers Insider podcast. He appeared on the fifth episode of the podcast back on September 28th, 2016. And on that episode, he talked about his experience during the 2007 draft, when the Patriots were scheduled to pick at number 28 and the Baltimore Ravens at number 29. The 49ers ended up trading up in a deal with the New England Patriots. They shipped their first-round pick the next year and a fourth-rounder to select Staley.
I was on the phone with the GM for the Ravens, Ozzie Newsome, and he had texted me and said, you know, I was on the phone with the Chiefs at 23. They told me they were going to go with who ended up being Dwayne Bowe. And then right after that pick was done, my agent had called or texted me and said, the Ravens are going to pick you at 29. I don't think there's anybody else that's going to be there that's going to take you, take a tackle until 29. So you're probably going to go to Baltimore. And then I got a phone call from the Niners, and I was basically on the phone telling them, hey, sorry, I'm going to be taken by the Ravens at 29. And they were kind of like, hey, wait, hold on. We traded up to pick you, so congratulations, we just took you. So.
Thanks again to Joe Staley, and thanks to all of our listeners through the first two seasons of the 49ers Insider podcast. People will always ask me what I do in the off season. My response is, what off season? And there is certainly no such thing as an off season with the 49ers Insider podcast. If you haven't made it part of your weekly routine, you can find it anywhere you subscribe to your podcast. And be sure to leave a review on iTunes or hit me up on Twitter with any feedback or guests that you would like to hear from in the future. Right now, let's go to Twitter to answer some questions from our loyal listeners. My friend Scott Terrell on Twitter asks, how does someone like Joe Staley view the old coaching regime of Harbaugh's staff versus Shanahan's? Jim Harbaugh was a demanding coach, and definitely different guys reacted in different ways to Harbaugh's approach. But I never got the impression that Harbaugh rubbed Staley the wrong way. Now, it was very obvious that in 2012, when the decision was made to go with Colin Kaepernick over Alex Smith, Staley wasn't pleased about that because Smith was a good friend and Smith was in the midst of his best NFL season up to that point. But Staley was also very upfront with Coach Harbaugh. He went to him, they discussed their feelings, and ultimately Staley said he supported whatever the coach decided. But I think with Staley, he did not experience success early in his career. And under Harbaugh, that was the first time he did experience some winning. So I've never heard him say anything but positive things about that period of time. As for the current situation with Kyle Shanahan, I think you could tell on the podcast how much Staley is excited about the direction of the organization. His only regret seems to be that he's not young enough to experience it for a longer period of time. Chris Baratine on Twitter asks, is there an expected time frame for the Jimmy Garoppolo deal? Well, the expected time frame would be before March 6th. If there is no long-term contract before March 6th, then the 49ers are forced to place the one-year franchise tag on him to retain him for the 2018 season. I don't think that's anything the 49ers want, and I don't think that's anything that Jimmy Garoppolo wants. I think both sides would like to just have some finality to this and come together on a long-term contract that meets the needs of both sides, and they can get to work without any kind of contract looming over them. I would expect it to happen. Brad Furby on Twitter comes in with this. What are we going to do to protect Jimmy G? Well, I think the 49ers definitely want to upgrade their offensive line, and whether it's depth at the tackle position, starting guards, whatever the case may be, I would expect them to really investigate the addition of free agents, but also turn their attention to that in the draft as well. So I would think that the 49ers would definitely like to upgrade the talent level, the competition. One player that a lot of people have asked about is Joshua Garnett, former first-round pick of the 49ers, did not play at all this season, spent basically the entire season on IR as a redshirt year. He remade his body under team direction to have him get faster and stronger and convert his body weight to more muscle. I don't think the 49ers have like penciled him in as a starter, but he's going to get an opportunity. So nothing the 49ers do this offseason will be because they have Joshua Garnett. In other words, it's not going to prevent them from drafting a guy or signing a guy. But if Garnett does prove to be a starter caliber guard in the NFL, I think the 49ers will view that as found money, and they'll be very excited to be able to add another player to that mix. Christian Acosta asks this question. Do you think Kyle Shanahan keeps calling plays himself, or does he hire an offensive coordinator to lighten his workload? Kyle Shanahan is a head coach in the NFL because he is such a good offensive coordinator. The designing of offenses, the calling of plays, and I think you really saw that late in the season. So I don't see any reason for Kyle Shanahan to want to give that up, nor do I see any reason why he should give that up. It's his strength. It's what he does better than just about anybody in the league. And that's an area where the 49ers have an advantage. I mean, just look at the game plan he put together against Jacksonville with Jimmy Garoppolo around and probably more the offensive weapons and offensive personnel that he wants to see on the team. I think that his strengths as an offensive coordinator will shine through even more so in 2018. So I don't see any reason for him to change the approach, what he did his first season as the 49ers head coach / offensive coordinator. Ferd on Twitter asked, does Breida get the lead if Hyde isn't re-signed? Or if Hyde re-signs, do they become equal timeshare? Well, I think the 49ers will want to sign Carlos Hyde, but they'll want to re-sign him at their price. So therefore, I do believe that Hyde will hit free agency and be available on the open market to any team that might want him. I can't see them spending big money on a running back, whether it's Carlos Hyde or anybody else, when there are so many options available in the draft, and there is every year. I think Breida will be in the mix next season. I think Joe Williams, the player the 49ers really loved on tape and drafted in the fourth round and spent basically the entire year as a redshirt year, I think he will be in the mix. He has the kind of skills that the 49ers want out of their running back. A playmaker, a guy who's able to make plays on his own. So that's the type of running back the 49ers want, whether he can handle the duties. You know, he did not have a great offseason program. He did not have a great training camp. So I would still think that the 49ers would add somebody in the draft, whether it's day two or day three, probably more than likely day three. I don't think that they want necessarily a featured back, a workhorse type of running back who's going to be carrying 25 times a game. I think they like to mix it up, and they want guys to make plays. So Breida showed the ability to make plays. I think they would like to see more playmaking ability out of their quote-unquote number one back. Carlos Hyde had a fine season, but he just didn't make a whole lot of plays. He did a lot of the things they asked him to do, but I think there's more out there from that position. Well, that wraps up this edition of the podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back at it next week.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com.